Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. There were some competitive races for congressional seats around Illinois this election cycle. Incumbent Democrat Sherry Bustos narrowly edged Esther Joy King in the 17th congressional district. In Illinois' 6th district, Democratic incumbent freshman Sean Kasten defeated Republican challenger Jeannie Ives. And incumbent Republican Rodney Davis comfortably, surprisingly to him, he even said, defeated Democratic challenger Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan by nearly 10 percentage points in a race that was widely expected to be a lot more competitive. Meanwhile, there's one race that is still too close to call. Incumbent Democratic freshman Lauren Underwood trails Republican challenger Jim Oberweis, a state senator, by fewer than 1,000 votes in the 14th congressional district in northern Illinois. Oberweis has declared victory, but the Associated Press has yet to call the race, and officials say there are still thousands of mail-in ballots left to be counted. Meanwhile, in the 16th congressional district in northern Illinois, down into central Illinois, incumbent Republican Adam Kinzinger won re-election, defeating a Democratic challenger by nearly 30 points. We are joined now by Congressman Kinzinger. Congressman, welcome back to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Hey, thanks. Good to be with you.
And listeners, our lines are open if you have calls. Our lines are open to take your calls at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455 if you have any questions for Congressman Kinzinger. And we will prioritize calls if you actually live in his district. That is the 16th congressional district, which includes parts of DeKalb, Ford, Stark, Will, and Winnebago counties, and all of Boone, Bureau, Grundy, Iroquois, LaSalle, Lee, Livingston, Ogle, and Putnam counties. It is a big district. Join the conversation. The lines are open. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Congressman, I want to begin. Obviously, we have an ongoing presidential race that is too close to call as the votes are still being counted in several states. The president tweeted this morning, "Stop the count." That's a quote, which, if his wish were even honored, could mean Vice President Biden would win the 270 electoral votes. It also seems the president does want some states where he's up, like Georgia and Pennsylvania, to have the vote counting stop, but other states, Arizona and Nevada, where he's down and needs a win, continue to counting. I wonder, what is your reaction to how President Trump is, you know, saying that the counting of legally cast votes ought to be halted?
Yeah, he just needs to stop doing that. I mean, it's, look, if you want to, if you have legitimate concerns, you want to challenge that, you think there's real evidence of voter fraud, which there could be to some extent, not any of the rumors you're reading on Facebook. Those are all debunked, but, you know, there could be other things. And there's a legal process to do that through the court, bring that evidence forward. The courts will make a fair decision. We saw that play out in 2000. But, you know, emotional emo tweeting, basically stop the count, all that kind of stuff. It needs to end. And it looks like a guy that's very scared of losing. And, you know, I think it's still anybody's ballgame on the presidential race, but the president needs to be presidential. And so I just think the bottom line is, you know, there's a court process, but let's quit undermining and questioning the process.
You know, Congressman, by many indications, Republicans outperformed expectations in House elections across the country, at least if you were putting stock in the public polls and the election data experts. As it stands now, Republicans might be on track to pick up anywhere from 7 to 12 seats, I think, in the House. Meanwhile, yeah, the Democrats were not able to defeat one incumbent Republican. I wonder, you know, and at least if present trends continue, we very well could end up with a Democratic president. I wonder, what do you think this says about what voters want in 2020?
Well, I don't know if there's going to be an overlying message with it. I think it is seriously has been underreported, as you have reported, which is that Republicans massively outperformed expectations. Even the president, if he loses, outperformed polling and expectation. We expected to lose seats in the House. We're going to actually edge close to a majority, though we're not going to get there, and more than likely held the Senate. And then you look at all the huge races in Illinois. I mean, Illinois Republicans have, you know, for the first time in a while, we have a bright spot, something to move on. So I think what it says is that this is a very divided country. But I also think, more importantly, and it's going to be something that you'll have to look back on with the benefit or the gift of time, is there is a massive political realignment occurring right now around the country. You saw, you know, the best numbers since 1960 of non-white voters for Republicans. I think obviously the instability in the summer, the kind of push to the left of the Democrats have alienated a lot of people. And there's just a massive realignment. It doesn't mean that, you know, one side's going to win or the other side's going to win in the future. It just means start watching, because it's going to get, you know, it's going to get interesting over the next few years.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're talking about a potential realignment, and there has been a lot of hand-wringing among a certain segment of the Republican Party about President Trump, the so-called Never Trumpers. And there are a lot of Republicans, or I guess in some cases now former Republicans, who were hoping for a repudiation of at least President Trump's style of politics, right? They like smaller government, tax cuts, that sort of thing, but not the, you know, if I'm going to be frank about it, the racist comments, the misogyny, incivility, at least friendliness with authoritarian heads of state. Regardless of whether the president wins or loses, he did, as you pointed out, he did win more votes in 2020 than 2016. So people clearly like what he is offering. I wonder, where do you see the Republican Party going from here?
So I think this is going to be the defining thing. So I think as we go forward, had President Trump lost in a big way, there would be basically a battle for that heart and soul of the party today. Right now, I think it's just going to spread that battle out further. So as President Trump gets out of office, if he loses today or this week, if he gets out of office, you know, yeah, some of the Trumpism will continue to survive. He may tweet, he may be on television, but the reality is he'll no longer be president, and that will kind of wear off. And then the party has to have a discussion. Look, the reality, and I think this is as well part of looking at, you know, we did well among minorities. How do we do among the youth vote? Because that is the trajectory of the future. And I think, I personally believe, that we need to continue to speak honest and open, as Trump has done in some cases, but do it without all the lambast. You know, we need somebody to go out there and talk about conservatism again. What does it mean? A kid born in, you know, the toughest parts of Chicago should have the same opportunity as a kid born in the richest suburb. That's the conservative message. It's not negative. And we need to, come back and restore that. And that'll be the battle probably over the next couple of years.
What about, though, this idea that the way to win is to be as bombastic and, you know, entertaining and, I guess the generous way to say it is plain spoken and blunt, and certainly there are less generous ways to characterize how the president communicates to people. Do you think that is, I mean, is that something that's going to become, if not accepted, maybe even essential to being successful with the Republican base in the years ahead?
So I think in any case, you're always going to have a change of how a president communicates or gets elected. It's the old, you know, idea of Kennedy and the debate with Nixon and all that. Everything kind of changes. So there'll be a change to that extent. But I think I think everybody's engine's been on redline for so long that they are desperate for a break from this. And so I think there are going to be patterns of President Trump that probably the Democrats and Republicans will continue to adopt. But I also think there's parts that hopefully, you know, over time won't be. You know, having a loud kind of bombastic president for the last 4 years has been beneficial in some areas, China, et cetera. But I think in the long term, we still need to have a president that can unify people, because it's not sustainable otherwise.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Congressman Adam Kinzinger, who just won re-election in Illinois' 16th district. We can take your calls for the congressman, and we'd especially like to hear from people in the district. The number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. If you have questions about the future of the Republican Party, we don't yet know whether that will be a party led by President Trump or a party looking for a new leader in the years ahead. But the number to call is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. So, Congressman, it's shaping up that despite some of the gains by the Republican Party in the House, the Democrats seem like they're going to retain control. And it's looking likely, although not yet settled or guaranteed, that the Senate will remain in Republican control. We have had a lot of gridlock in recent years because of that divided government. Where are you on that? Do you worry about future continued gridlock? Or is this, I guess, you know, from some perspectives, it could be a benefit, depending on what you think of what government should do.
Yeah, so I think our Constitution was built, frankly, to try to encourage gridlock. And I think the American people, whether they do it consciously or not, usually end up voting for divided government. They like checks and balances on the other party. And so I think we'll have an opportunity, assuming, if Biden ends up pulling us off, to do some things. You're going to have some fights and battles and everything else. We always do, always should, and always will. But things like infrastructure, getting a COVID package done, your spending bills, the stuff that we have to do to keep the government rolling and serving the people, I think we're going to continue to do. I think we're going to be forced to confront spending issues and the federal government as well, as we see maybe inflation begin to grow, et cetera. And so I think this is a moment. It's probably, as a Republican, this is the next best scenario to Donald Trump winning, because you, in essence, will temper the far left desires of Biden and Harris and get more bipartisan things done. And so that's my hope. I hope that we can all take a deep breath, do what we need to do, have another election. There's always one around the corner. But for Democrats, I'd be a little worried about a shrinking majority, because they've had a hard time passing a lot of bills, even with a bigger majority. And now that's going to be razor thin and really difficult for them.
You mentioned a COVID package, which I presume you're talking about another stimulus bill. I mean, despite, and correct me if I'm wrong, but despite bipartisan support, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was reluctant to bring a vote to the Senate floor before the election. He's now saying it is a priority, I guess, after the election. But I mean, how confident are you that something can get done?
I'm confident, and I don't want to do whataboutism here, but let's keep in mind that in June and or July, we had passed only bipartisan bills up to the point that Nancy Pelosi introduced a huge COVID package without any Republican input, knowing darn well it was a political document. Didn't help her in this election. But I think when we're past the election now in the lame duck, which will be the next couple months, that it's very likely we'll get something done, because we can do it outside of the pressure of politics. It may not be what everybody loves. And I'll tell you this much, it is certainly not going to be a bailout for the state of Illinois. It will be help for COVID to the extent that every other state gets, and fair, but we are not going to paper over the mismanagement of Illinois under both parties for decades.
I want to ask you, Speaker Madigan was a big issue in the election here in Illinois. He was made, a factor in everything from the graduated income tax proposal up to, for those of us who were in Central Illinois, where your colleague, Republican Representative Rodney Davis, was facing a challenge from a Democrat named Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan. The advertising was all about how tied in she was to the speaker. A very tenuous connection, the fact checkers say, but I mean, advertising is advertising. What factor does he play from your perspective in helping Republicans in Illinois?
Well, I actually think he's a great help to Republicans. If you look at, the graduated tax, I think he had an impact there. It still may have failed short of the 60% threshold, but where you can definitely notice it is the retention of Kilbride. So you had to get 60% to retain a Supreme Court judge. He got below that threshold. He's out. You have a tied Supreme Court technically as of December 6th for 2 years, unless they appoint somebody. And that was a and there's real ties to Madigan there, including last minute $500,000 from Mike Madigan to the Supreme Court justice. So look, I'll say this: Mike Madigan is a brilliant politician. He runs, one heck of a machine that's done well. But in my mind, it is time for him to go, probably. But from a political perspective, I think he's becoming the greatest gift to the Republican Party in Illinois.
The last thing I want to ask you about is the future of the Republican Party in Illinois. There's a gubernatorial election coming up in 2 years, less than, I think it's about 300 days until petitions start hitting the street. I have heard your name, among many others, mentioned as somebody who might be interested in seeking that office at some point. Can you talk about, would you run for governor? Is that something you'd be interested here in Illinois?
Well, look, I'll say this, and this isn't trying to be political and cutesy. I am fully committed to this next House term, and I want to do what's right for the state and the country. If that means something else, I'm open to it, but I'm certainly and seriously not running around looking for opportunities to do a job like that. So, we'll see. I'll never say never. It's not in my wheelhouse at this moment. Because keep in mind, still, even though we're on the rise as Republicans in Illinois, Illinois is still a very blue state.
Congressman Adam Kinzinger represents the 16th District in Northern and Central Illinois. Congressman Kinzinger, thank you for making the time to be with us today.
You bet. Anytime. Take care.
This is the 21st coming up after just a short break. We are going to be talking about mental health in a very stressful election week. A lot of us maybe are feeling a little frayed following the results, regardless of which side of the aisle you're on. We're going to be speaking with a psychiatrist about how to cope with stress as the election drags on and if your candidate loses, regardless of which candidate that is. Also, how you can talk to family members who maybe are struggling a little bit if you are struggling with them, they're maybe on the opposite side of the political spectrum from you. Where do we go from here? I want to take a moment before we break to just suggest this might be a good opportunity to subscribe to our podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, NPR One. Just search for The 21st. And if you like our podcast, if you like our show, it would be helpful if you could rate and review us there. It helps other people find the show. So I also want to say we do love hearing what you thought about what we talked about on the show. There are a number of ways to get in touch with us. You can, of course, always tweet us at 21st Show, but we love getting voicemails from listeners. We do play them on air sometimes. The number to do that is 217-300-2121. 217-300-2121. If you just want to send an email, that works too. The address is talk@21stshow.org. That's talk@21stshow.org. Coming up, we're going to be having that conversation with a psychiatrist about election week stress. If you have questions, comments about that, are you feeling stressed? The number is 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. More to come after a short break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.